Good morning and welcome to worship at Washington Park United Methodist Church this morning. We pray that you have a powerful experience with us. We pray that you have a powerful experience of God as you worship with us today. And if you're joining us through recording later, then we pray you have a powerful experience of God, whatever time you join with us. I am so grateful that we can still gather together through technology in this time of physical distancing. I had no idea how last week was going to go, but it really ended up being a very sacred time. Whichever one of us, Reverend Jamie Lee or I, are behind the camera, we can see the comments that you are posting and the emojis that you're reacting with, and it really felt like a sacred time of connection with one another. I hope you experience this too and are reminded that you are not alone in this. We are learning new ways to be community, new ways to be connected. And to that end, just a reminder to our youth group that you have a Zoom call with Reverend Jamie Lee at 11 o'clock today. And also, Reverend Jamie Lee and I are going to set up a Zoom meeting for our pastor's coffee hours on Thursday from noon to 2. So make sure you watch our emails for that information and make a cup of coffee or a cup of tea and join us for some conversation. Let us know you're here today by signing in via your comments or emailing me or Reverend Jamie Lee. Feel free to chat with one another during the service. I also heard a good idea this week that maybe you could FaceTime another family or a friend during the service and watch worship together. We're going to be doing this for a while, at least the next few weeks. So be creative and share your ideas with us. In the room today, we're joined by Sonia, our wonderful accompanist, me, of course, Reverend Sandy, Reverend Jamie Lee behind the camera. You'll see her in prayer time. Upstairs, we have Jordan and Andy helping with AV needs. We're missing Steve today, so send prayers his way as he took kind of an emergency trip to Chicago to pick up Ella's belongings at college before they shut the campus all the way down. So prayers for his travel as they're coming back. Thank you, as always, for your grace and your patience with us. We are not professional movie makers. But what we do strive for today is to offer a spiritual connection with one another and with God. So in that vein, let us continue with worship by singing.
Holy, holy,
Good morning, people of Washington Park United Methodist. It is a joy to be with you in spirit and share what is resting in our hearts today. Although we aren't sharing publicly because of the public nature of Facebook, we would encourage you to please shoot Sandy or I an email if you have any joys and concerns that you'd like to share, or utilize our new prayer card, which is available on our website. Either way, make sure you let us know exactly how you would like that information to be shared, because we will be sharing your joys and concerns in the Thursday email unless you designate that you would like it held privately. So please let us know what is resting in your hearts, because it is the way that we maintain our connection across these distant times. And whoever you're with, be it a friend or a family member, I'd like to offer you a moment of time to share your joys and concerns with one another. Let us know in spirit how you're doing. So share a moment of joys and concerns with the people that you're with right now. We thank you for taking that moment to share. And we now turn to our hymn of prayer. Join me for our unison prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And hear this good news, that our Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ, offers us the chance to begin again and again and again. Creator God, we come to you today a new and changed people. We have witnessed the world altered in the span of a few days. We ask, as we always do, that you be with us in that time, that you help us to carry our burdens, though they seem heavier, that you help us see the light, though it seems dimmer. We ask all of these things because we know that if anyone's gonna get us out of it, it's you. May we rely more heavily in these times on our faith. May we ground ourselves deeper into the love that we know you share with us every day. And may we be reminded that you are never further away from us
than our very next breath. We pray all of these things with joyful thanksgiving to you through the name of your Son, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our children's time. If you are watching, I'm wondering how you're doing. So if you're doing good, I want you to put a thumbs up. If you're doing just okay, a thumb sideways. If you're not super good today, a thumbs down. And just remember, no matter what, you are welcome in this community and we love you. Last week, we talked about some things that you can do while you're physically distancing from other people. And one of the things that I said that you can do is pray. Sometimes, though, it's hard to know how to pray. What words do you say? How long do you pray? So today, I thought I would teach you a song. Now, some of you already know this song because I've already taught it to you before, maybe a couple of years ago, but it might be new for some of you, and it has some hand motions that I'm going to teach you, and I want you to let this song be a prayer. If you have quiet time in your home, or if you're feeling kind of anxious, or maybe if you have a brother or sister in your house, you're fighting with them, and you just need to take time out and pray, this song can be your prayer. So we start out with our hands like this. This song is called Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh, like rain, on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Now put your hand out like a candle, and we're going to melt all the wax down. Are you ready? Melt me, mold me, like clay or Play-Doh. Fill me like a cup. Use me, Spirit of the Living God. Fall afresh on me. I invite you to, now that you know all the words and the motions, we're going to sing through it without my directions, and feel free, actually, as you're listening to this, maybe think about somebody you could teach this song to, maybe your parents, or maybe you could call somebody on FaceTime and teach them this song also, and use it as your prayer. So today, this is going to be our prayer. You ready? Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. Scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, send your spirit upon us, that as your scripture has been read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what it is you have to say to us this day. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, actually at the beginning of Lent, I shared with you that in our house, Jimbo and I, for a Lenten practice, are going through every room and purging, organizing, cleaning, that sort of thing. And here's what I keep finding when I'm cleaning like the bathroom or closets or my room. I keep finding all of these little like lotions or fancy soaps or all sorts of like little gifty things that somebody has given me and different people throughout the years. And for some reason, in the back of my mind, I have thought, I need this, but not right now, for a special occasion. And I've just taken those things and like tucked them away all over my house. And now that I'm finding them, they are old and they need to be thrown away. I almost cried this week when I found a bottle of scented hand sanitizer, like gold these days, but it was so old it was expired. So I had to throw it out. I don't know why I'm keeping those things for another day, but I have been. We are continuing our Lenten sermon series called Hands On, as we look at the image of different hands through the gospel story. And don't be worried, the irony is not lost on us that in this particular time we're focusing on hands, as hands and hand washing and not touching with your hands is such a hot topic. But today we look at Mary and we look at Jesus. And Mary, this Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, pours oil of anointing all over Jesus' feet and wipes them with her hands and with her hair. Now, all four of the Gospels tell a similar story, but each version is a little bit different. In Matthew and Mark, the woman is unnamed. In the Gospel of Luke, the woman who is pouring the oil out on Jesus' feet also is unnamed, but she's described as a sinner. It's only John that names this woman or says that the woman that poured all this oil out was Mary, and no indication that she is sinful or unimportant. In the Gospel of John, Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus are good friends of Jesus, and Jesus is often in their home. And instead of being just the disciples in John's story that go, oh my, like in the other Gospels that say, oh my goodness, why is she pouring this out? The other Gospels, it's just kind of the disciples or others that are all appalled at this. In the Gospel of John, it's specifically Judas that says, why has this been wasted? Most scholars agree that in the Gospel of John, that the significance of this act of pouring out this anointing oil by Mary is not only a symbol of love and devotion to the Lord, but a foreshadowing of Jesus' death. In John, this scene takes place at the beginning of chapter 12, and in the middle of chapter 12, the stories of Holy Week start to take place. Now, we're probably more familiar with Martha and Mary from the Gospel of Luke, and the story of Martha and Mary hosting when Jesus has come to their home, and how Martha ends up doing all the work and Mary's the one that kind of sits down at Jesus' feet and listens to every word and doesn't help Martha at all. And Martha gets really upset and goes to Jesus and says, she's leaving me with everything. Aren't you going to say anything to her? And the Lord replies with, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. So I've been spending more time on social media than usual. Maybe you have too. But this particular week, the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to keep up with my colleagues and share ideas of how we can continue ministry in this challenging time. But as I was scrolling through the other day, I saw a story. It was this really positive story about Venice and how with the kind of the whole city shut down almost, that the canals had become clear and even dolphins were starting to play in the canals. And I saw that story and I was like, perfect. That is an excellent story for my sermon this week. I mean, I'll focus on Martha and Mary and about Mary paying attention to the Lord, slowing down, not worrying. Really focus on the idea of being and not doing. The idea that this time when we're all at our homes or in limited places, it can be a healing time for us. Except that, when I started to look into that story, I found out it's fake news. It's not even true. Jordan's giving me a yep. Oh my goodness. I was looking into it, I was like, I'll show some pictures during the sermon, that'll be great. And actually, that story is not true. Some of the pictures of dolphins in the canals happened in a different place that has canals. And I was so disappointed. And I was duped. I fell for it. Fake news. And really deeply disappointed because I believe in the idea of Sabbath, of rest, as essential for all creation, not just us humans, but the earth itself. I was reading an article by a colleague of mine, Reverend Rebecca Simon Peter, who once talked with a retired NASA scientist named Jonathan Ormus. My apologies if I got his name wrong. And he said this: "We can see that levels of nitrous oxides, byproducts of fossil fuel combustion, among other things, fluctuate during the week." He's talking about from space. "They go down on Friday in Islamic countries, down on Saturday in Israel, and down on Sunday in the United States, Europe, and Japan. This lowering of nitrous oxide levels is called the Sabbath effect or the weekend effect. In other words, the less people drive and the less industry produces, the cleaner the air." I like that idea that if we take a moment to rest, not only are we restored, but the whole earth is as well. And that's why I wanted to believe that dolphin story and kind of really dig into this idea that nature can reclaim creation. The problem with the fake dolphin story is the fake hope it inspires. It was an easy uplift to the spirit, but a pretty big drop when I realized I fell for it. And while that was disappointing, as people of faith, we've never had a fake hope or an easy hope that is based solely on rainbows and dolphins and everything drenched in sunshine and gumdrops. Our hope is so much deeper and much more unshakable. It's the hope that is born out of despair and grief and things not going our way. Our hope comes from a Savior who showed the world a completely different way to live. So this week, when you're feeling low or lost or frustrated or helpless or just plain over it all, I invite you to find a moment to sit still and find your center, your hope, your God. And when you connect with that place, that deep sense of hope and trust, don't hold on to it for a special occasion. This is it, friends. This is the moment when our faith matters, when it sustains us, when it makes a difference to us and to all those that we connect with. And take that hope and pour it out with celebration and abandon all of it. Don't keep a drop. Swim in it, soak in it, and trust that it will not let you down. And also be assured that when you need it again, it will be there, overflowing. I pray these have been the words of the Lord for us this day. Amen. I invite you to pray with me our offering prayer. God, in response to the love you have given to us, we offer here what we have, what we do, and even more who we are, for the sake of all people. Amen. And now, even though we can't reach out with our hands, I invite you to reach out with your hearts. Let us be connected. We are the body of Christ. And as you go from our worship today, may the love of God, the grace and peace of Jesus the Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love, now and forever. Amen.